You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Hey, good morning to you. Glad to be on the air. Mike McNamara in for a Friday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. And it's going to be a fun day. We'll talk food, Valentine's Day, the head chef. We'll go into the chow hall with the head chef, Kim Holmes, and we'll talk some food, give you some Valentine's Day ideas, hopefully keep your shit out of trouble. So, because we care. So, we'll do that. And then we'll also, in about a little bit more than an hour, we're going to continue our discussion with Steve Siepker. And Steve... actually, we got knocked off the air by a power outage yesterday, so we're going to finish our interview. But we're going to talk Hollywood Marines. Yeah. Now, we all know that as a term for guys at San Diego, but a little bit different connotation with guys who work in the entertainment business. They are legitimately Hollywood Marines. So we'll talk to Steve about that, about the entertainment business. In fact, I was talking to my daughter, Catherine. Catherine's 23. She graduated from Cal State Fullerton about a year ago, coming up in May. It's hard to believe, but nonetheless true. Not that it's just, I mean, she was a little kid here a few years ago. Anywho, I was talking to her about having Steve on the program. She said, well, what show does he advise for? I said, Shooter. And she shoved me. She did the Elaine Bennis on me. Shoves me, get out of town. I said, no. She goes, I love that show. I said, then you should listen. Maybe you'll learn something. So, Shooter, yeah. It's a big-time show. And so we'll talk to him about the entertainment business. We'll see if we can drag any details out of him about people who we shouldn't be talking about. But nonetheless... that's what we do. So we'll do that. And generally have a good time. So sit back, relax. And then the Gunner's going to join us. We'll do a little bit of Mike and Mike today and see what he has on his mind. So we'll talk to him. And it should be a fun day. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, thanks for listening to All Marine Radio here on a Friday, the 10th day of February. That's right. Valentine's Day coming up. So... without further ado, Whitney Houston, because it's Friday, Colleen behind her, Modo, Weather, Holmes on food. And there might be a couple of news headlines in there, too. Anyway, that I would tell you to check out. I'm still blown away by 60% of the Marine Corps aircraft inventory could not fly as of December 31st. And I can tell you that number hadn't got better since then. Is that amazing? And you know, so I'm in the shower, and I don't know why this pops into my head this morning, but it does. And I'm thinking, how the fuck does it make sense for the President of the United States to look at that number and think that, you know, if something goes wrong, out of 218 F-18s the Marine Corps owns, 72 of them can get in the air. At any one time. 72. How many of those come with an asterisk? Not exactly sure. You think somebody should have done something about that? Senator McCain, somebody? I mean, good God. Just stupid. I mean, when you think about it. And the Navy's not in much better shape. They're in a little bit better shape, but not much. I mean, they have the same spare parts issues and all the rest of that shit. But, I mean, you got to be kidding me. You know, you got to absolutely be kidding me. Anyway, all right, now that I've got that off my chest, Whitney Houston, good morning.
Who's brought
I'm a fan. I got to tell you, I know she was a disaster, but here she is, Colleen Maureen McNamara.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans. Wipe us home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Done, Dad.
Somebody sent me an email. Hey, that's hilarious, your daughter singing God Bless America. What's the story? I've told this story before, so forgive me if you've heard it. Probably 5 or 6. And you know when they come home and they're singing it like 6,000 times? So I don't know what I was doing. I was sitting there working on my computer. I had a microphone with me. Cause when you do talk radio, you tend to have that. And I looked at her and said, hey, come here. What? Come here, sing that. So that was take two. That was take two. Boom. And I don't think I could have sang that song at that age. Anyway, Colleen. And now, did he mean it or was it a line?
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
That was such a line, right? And I say that because I'm reflecting on a president who leaves office with his Marine Corps aviation component decimated. So how could you mean that and walk out of office like that and allow that to happen? Like, look, I'm not a military guy. I'm the president, you know, but I'm looking at these numbers. Is 25%, is that good of your aircraft being up? No, Mr. President, it's not. Okay, then, what are we doing about it? Nothing. We're locked in sequestration, so it's just going to get worse. Okay, I'm good. I'm out. So with that, Junior, the sweet sounds. Yeah, the sweet saxophone of Junior Walker and the All-Stars. Yeah, so we're sitting around the table at the readiness meeting. Biden rolls in. Hey, Joe, what's up? Nothing, Mr. President. Just got down here on the train. That's great, Joe. Nice to see. All right, sit down. All right, who's got the readiness report? I do, Mr. President. Neller, what do you got for me over there? You look like a knuckle dragger. What kind of maintenance report you got for me? We're good to go. The only issue we got is our aviation component is on its ass. What'd you say? He looks up from his crossword puzzle that he has in his lap because he gets kind of bored at these meetings. When Neller says, my aviation component's on his ass, he stops the crossword and he looks up. He says, what'd you say, Bob? I said it's on its ass. Could you quantify that for me, Bob? Yes, sir, Mr. President. Our F-18s, 25% can fly. 25%. That would be how many out of how many? 70 out of 280. Yeah, that's 25%. Good in math, Bob. Where'd you go to school? Michigan. Michigan State. Sorry. Go green. Bob, are you bullshitting me with that figure of 25%? No, Mr. President, I'm not bullshitting you. Oh, really? Because that's like a shitty number, isn't it? Yeah, I'm a grunt, and even I know that shit. What a joke, man. What a bunch of ass clowns for allowing. I mean, come on. Bob, what's going to make it better? You guys got a shipment coming in? You're going to do some magic over there? You're going to fairy dust that number for me? Make me look good? No, Mr. President. The pipeline for the parts? Yeah, it's gone away. It doesn't exist anymore. What? What do you mean? Yeah, it's gone. It dried up. They don't produce them anymore. We're making good progress. We're going into museums and we're yanking shit off aircraft in museums. And then Biden chimes in. I thought that was a joke. Is that actually true? Neller, do I look like a joking man there, Mr. Vice President? Watch your mouth, Bob. Bob. Yes, sir. No, I'm not joking, Mr. Vice President. Whoa. This is some serious shit, Mr. President. The President. Yeah, it is, Joe. 25%. Wow, that's not good. What are we going to do about it? Nothing. We're not doing anything. We're in sequestration. We can't do anything. All right, who's next? So, there you go. All right, let me say thanks for all your hard work, and I'm out of here. I'm gonna go paragliding or do some homoerotic stuff with Richard Branson. Yeah, that looked a little queer, didn't it? Them like laughing and touching each other. I don't want to, not that there's anything wrong with that. It just looked a little gay to me. And who knew? Who knew? But anyway, I digress. Let me check the weather, and then we're going to talk food. Currently in Quantico, cloudy in 29. At Camp Lejeune, it is sunny in 39. How about that? Email Mac, you're pissed already. 25%, can you believe that? That's what they say can get in the air, okay? And you know they're lying about that shit, too. They're aviators, it's what they do. They're not telling the truth. We probably have like 10 F-18s that can get in the air right now. What a bunch of shit. In Texas, cloudy in 57. North Dakota, warmed up, cloudy in 24. Boom, summer busted out. 29 Palms, cloudy in 62. Camp Pendleton, cloudy 58. Camp Smith in Hawaii, cloudy, dark in 69. Okinawa, 55 degrees under cloudy skies and dark. Fallujah, just getting dark, 60 degrees. At the home of All Marine Radio, that's not a very happy place right now. Cloudy in 57 degrees. Looking for a high of 67 here in beautiful Southern California. So, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk food, okay? And because I'm unhappy today and we need to talk food, then in about an hour, we're going to talk to Steve Siepker. And he's a Hollywood Marine. Yeah, Marine, Scout Sniper, Cop. Now he's doing technical consulting on the show Shooter, so we'll talk to him about what it is to hang out in Hollywood. Is it as cool as everybody thinks? And we'll get a look behind the curtain. We talked to his career yesterday, so we'll be done with that bullshit, and now we're going to get down to brass tacks. Is it everything they say it is? Are the chicks hot? Is the money incredible? Talk to me about Hollywood. So we will do that. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Is there a cooler radio network? No.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do. And I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my commanding unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
As we recognize the service of America's men and women in uniform, let's also honor the families who sacrifice so much every day. Military families endure frequent deployments and separations. They carry on while their loved ones are sent into harm's way and wait patiently for their safe return. If you really want to honor a veteran, look for ways to support their families and thank them for their sacrifices. Go to legion.org/honorveterans to find out how you can help.
This is Montel Williams. As a U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran, I know the sacrifice that our servicemen and women make for us every single day. If you're a veteran or a military member transitioning out of the service, help is available to you. The U.S. Department of Labor can help you get training, find a good job, or further your education. Contact the Veterans Employment and Training Service at 866-487-2365 or visit dol.gov/vets.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You too with BB King. 7:21 here on a Friday. Mike McNamara with you. All Marine Radio continues. This hour of All Marine Radio brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the badass Battle Mug, don't you know? Let me tell you about it. It starts at 13.5 pounds of T6 billet aluminum. After they mill it, machine it, anodize it, it's ready for you. That's right. You can trick it out. So if you're going to the field, binoculars, laser rangefinder, that's right, so you can actually hit what you're shooting at. All right. A camera, maybe. A light, maybe, although you know you're not supposed to be hunting at night. Just want to caveat all that. All right. And you can attach all that to mil-spec Picatinny rails on that thing. Yeah, right on the mug. It's got a lid so you don't dump your cup of Joe on your lap. When you see that big, like, 97-pointer. Yeah. So check it out. Battlemugs.com. Great for commemoration, farewells, promotions, retirements, and any other special occasion, or just a great gift, period. Type in the code Marine for 15% off. A veteran-owned company, a Marine-owned company, and a product made entirely in the USA. So, speaking of made in the USA, joining me is P. Kimball Holmes, my hetero life partner. What is up?
Hey, brother. Home's good here.
Home skillet. We're going to call this the chow hall because that's where we eat. The chow hall.
The chow hall.
We're in the chow hall with Kimbo Slice. So, Kimbo, yeah. First of all, how are you doing?
Just great.
Are you?
Great. Yeah, because the weather changed.
The weather? You guys are supposed to get into the 40s pretty soon. What's up with that?
Well, that's what it should be. I tell you what, I got beat up this winter.
Oh, you did? Let me tell you, the winter's tough, and Kim can take a tumble on the ice. No, you don't do that anymore, though, do you?
I don't have to walk between Sanders and the house on the Kitson, the original Sanders, where we lived above it. Whoa. And I'd take a fall every winter because they didn't plow the alley well enough, so there'd be ruts. and some of them 6-8 inches deep. And I'd slip. I'm trying to be real careful.
No, you didn't.
And the only thing that saved me is the alcohol in my body, because I had to. I cracked some ribs one year. It just hurt my shoulder. It was a brutal walk, and I guarantee, no matter how cautious I was, I'd slip and fall.
Well, you know, when it's that cold for that long a period of time, it really doesn't matter what they do to plow, because, I mean,
no.
You're going to get ice. And then what? I'll tell you, when I used to fall, I would fall getting out of the car. You're getting out of the car, and you might have something in your hands, and then you're going to shut the door, and you slip, and your leg goes, and you go down like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
Just all you people that don't know that.
You put your heel first instead of the ball of your foot. So your heel hits the ground, and it goes out from under you. It just, and you're down.
Yeah, man down. Seriously down, too, man. I remember, and then what you try to do, because you're stupid, is you try to get your elbow down. And if you go down on the concrete, like point of your elbow first, or that's how you jack your shoulder up. You get your forearm down, and then your body weight lands on your shoulder. You see it happen all the time in sports. It's just too much force. It just, that's no bueno. So, all right, now that we're done talking about the cold weather and falling down, let's talk about Valentine's Day coming up.
It is? Yeah, it is, man. And that's lovers only day. And make sure you have a nice little nest to curl up in after dinner, because we're going to dance you right into the bedroom.
All right. Now, but a lot of guys were talking about trying to keep people out of trouble on Valentine's Day. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so first of all, if you're going to go out, you should probably be working on reservations now, yes?
Well, you should have gotten them about 2 weeks ago.
Ooh.
I mean, Sanders was full up to a month before Valentine's Day.
Okay, just so everybody knows, hold on. Sanders is Kim's old restaurant that he ran. So not everybody might know that, just so you know.
For 30 years,
right.
Yeah.
So you would get full how long before Valentine's Day?
Oh, anywhere from 3 to 4 weeks, 5 weeks sometimes. And then once Valentine's Day was full, we'd fill up the day before and the day after.
Yeah, that's everybody. That's everybody else scrambling, right?
Yeah. That's making up. Well, honey. I got your reservation. It was all full, so we're going to go the next day, or we're going to go the day before Valentine's Day, so we can just hang out at home. You got to be your way out of blowing the reservation.
Okay, so you know what? And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about blowing the reservation. And so let's give everybody an out relative to blowing the reservation. Okay, so what's the first good excuse for blowing the reservation?
Honestly,
No. God, no. Come on. What'd you do, just get married yesterday?
No, I've been married 27 years this month.
You can't tell them that I forgot. You have to say, so what's a good excuse? The good excuse is I wanted to cook dinner. You and I here at our place, blah, 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 blah. How about
that? Exactly. Oops, excuse me. That's the afternoon.
Be careful right there. You're dancing near the edge with that.
I don't say it in the afternoon.
Exactly. That's my word. I don't give it up. Okay, so that's our excuse, hun. I know, because if she's got a favorite restaurant that she likes to go to, and you call up and they say, sorry, we're booked, day before, day after is okay in this case, but I wanted just to have just a nice, quiet dinner that I'm going to make. Now, the question is, all right, so you're going to her restaurant, not yours, remember that, if you can make the reservation.
Yes.
That makes sense, right?
Well, you have to go to the whatever restaurant she likes. Otherwise, you're just...
Yeah, otherwise, come on.
Wheels.
Yeah. So Valentine's Day, it's all about her. How come it's never about us?
Because it shouldn't be about us.
Oh.
I mean, they can do something nice, wear that nice... never mind.
It doesn't seem like it's very, it's an equal proposition, Valentine's Day. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. But you know what? It's much better to, shine it on because, they're doing a lot of work at home and stuff.
Oh, please.
Full-time job.
Two parts. Don't start singing me the choir, okay? Don't do that.
I'm not singing the
choir. Yeah, you are. You're singing the choir. Look, hey, everybody puts in, okay? It just doesn't seem that Valentine's Day is a 50-50 proposition. There's way more pressure on men. Like,
I'm not arguing that.
Okay.
Of course there's more pressure on us.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make that point.
You gotta pull out the dog and pony show and hit a home run.
So she goes to work the next day, and is the first question that she gets asked when she walks in is it, what'd you get him for Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
That's not the first question she's going to get asked, is it?
No.
No.
What did he do for you last night?
Why is it like that? Why is it like that?
Because that's the way it works.
That's the way it works. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. The tyranny of Valentine's Day. It's turned into a what are you getting me on Valentine's Day? So anyway, that's just the lay of the land. So now that you've screwed up the reservation and you're going D minus one or D plus one, let's talk about what do we cook for Valentine's Day to make her feel like we really didn't forget to make the reservation?
Well, first of all, you do have to try and make the reservation at least a week ahead. And
okay, we're beyond that. We're inside that.
Okay, let me finish.
All right. Whoa! What's with the tension? Let me finish.
Then you have to think. Well, I'm gonna right away. You got to think. What am I gonna fix at home to make it all worthwhile for her? And a great meal. And charm her, have some champagne, a bottle of wine, order and get a nice little cake made for her, or a dessert, her favorite dessert, whatever it is. Usually it's some kind of cake, cupcake. But you have to focus on the dinner. Now, you have to shop ahead at least the day before, if not sooner.
Okay, so we got the weekend coming up, so we can do that this weekend, yes?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, so the deal here, fellas, is you've got to make her think that you really didn't forget the reservation should you not be able to get it, right?
Amen, yes.
Okay, that's what so you got to put some effort into it.
You have to be fully prepared. You have to buy the food a few days earlier. There are some things you can do ahead, like this voodoo pasta I'm going to tell you about. You can make the sauce ahead. So the day of, you can focus on the flowers, the champagne, setting a nice table. Linen napkins, not paper napkins, folks. The nicest silverware you have in your house. Tablecloth. Candle. Flowers on the table. You better get her flowers or you're screwed. Yeah. I don't care what you feed her.
Yeah, let me tell you, flowers are easy. You get them at the supermarket. It's not a big deal. You don't even have to go to the florist anymore. There's tons of flowers all over the place.
Oh, that's everywhere. A no-brainer.
But all right.
Just an essential element of Valentine's Day. Yeah.
You can knock that out.
Flowers sitting on the table right. when she comes to dinner.
Right. right, when she comes to dinner. All right, so we can yeah. know that. So it's you get that at the supermarket when you go shopping for the rest of everything else that we're going to talk about. Now, we got to make, Jeff, something. Is what recipe are we going to talk about?
Well, I'm going to do a vodka pasta.
Okay, all right, so hold on. Vodka pasta. So, yeah. So I'm just trying to think. Anything else? So we got it's so you know it should be candlelit and it should be and you got the flowers going. Any other critical element? Her favorite wines, of course. Basic stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else that we need to do to make sure that she knows that we did this on purpose?
Well, the fact that you're cooking dinner and that you are organized and prepared. Whether you do this pasta dish, the easiest go-to thing is monster shrimp or steak, filet mignon.
So if you're not a pasta guy, monster shrimp or filet mignon. Okay, hold on.
Yes.
Right, hold on. All right, now let me read you an email. Hey, Mac, I'm listening this morning, and as a woman – can I give you one thing that if he's going to cook dinner? Question mark. The answer is yes. Yes, of course. Don't dress like a slob just because you're cooking dinner.
Oh, amen, sister. That's right in the wheelhouse.
Just because you're in your own kitchen doesn't mean you should show up in flip-flops and a pair of jeans and a T-shirt. Okay, work with us. Okay, throw a nice pair of pants on, a shirt, and some shoes, and sell this trick that you jackasses are pawning off as something deliberate. Whoa.
Get yourself a nice apron, and if you're a mess in the kitchen, then get yourself an apron that goes around your neck and covers the front of your shirt. Otherwise. If you're a little bit more agile in the kitchen, you just wrap an apron around your waist, and that looks very cool when you're dressed up. You've got a nice shirt. You can roll the sleeves up while you're cooking. But when you're done, you roll your sleeves down, you button your sleeves, and then when it comes time to serve the food, you seat your wife or girlfriend first. You go stand behind her chair. She slides in. You scoot her chair up a little bit. You don't jam it in the back of her knees. And you let her sit down and control the flow. And then you pour some wine or champagne, whatever you're having. You have a water glass on the table.
Come on. Water? Nobody's drinking water.
I'm telling you what it is, buddy. That can be done before you even come to the table. Okay? Don't be a party pooper.
I'm not, but water, come on, that's a joke.
Hey, I'm not saying they're going to drink it, but they might sip a little water. I hope this woman texts you back and straightens you her ass out.
Water? I got to do a water glass too. Okay, fine. If you went, fine. If you want a water glass, that's fine.
The angle, I'm going to get her drunk.
No, I'm not. But come on, can we just be legit? This isn't a restaurant. This is my home. Okay, we never have water at dinner. We never do, unless somebody wants to have water for dinner. Then they have water for dinner. But just as a separate course, we never have water.
No. See, you're not thinking this through, Mac. It's not a separate course. It's just if somebody between bites of food instead of wants to drink champagne, wants a little sip of water, or they have a cough or something, and they take a little sip of water instead of you having to get up and get her a glass of water, it's just sitting on the table. It's no big deal.
All right. I got the memo. Okay, water. Now, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna talk recipes. We're gonna talk a little vodka pasta. Is that what we're gonna talk?
That That's the one that can be made ahead, the sauce.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. All right. On a Friday edition of All Marine Radio, we're in the Chow Hall with the All Marine Radio head chef, Kimbo Slice.
Hello.
Exactly. Hello, America. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, you'll get all the recipe you need to know if you want to make a nice dish for your significant other on Valentine's Day. So, with that said, we'll be right back.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good. The past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help. I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Life in the military is one of service and sacrifice. For some, that sacrifice includes physical and mental injuries or trauma that will affect their lives forever. Please join with the American Legion in recognizing and supporting our wounded warriors and their families. We need to show them that we truly are a grateful nation. We cannot allow them to be forgotten and left to fend for themselves.
This is U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran Montel Williams. During my 22 years of military service, I had the honor of working beside many brave servicewomen. They are the fastest growing population of veterans, and they can be a great asset to your company. Women veterans are trained to take initiative, adapt to change, and they're quick to learn. If you're an employer or a woman veteran, call the U.S. Department of Labor at 866-487-2365 or visit careeronestop.org.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
exactly what you're listening to. And we're fired up too on a Friday. Talking food. Valentine's Day. What to do if you tank it. Because that's what we do, because we care. Mike McNamara in the chow hall with the head chef, Kim Holmes. Known as Kimbo to his friends. And he's a Santana fan, so. Michelle Branch out in front.
Many times at the Fillmore Auditorium.
So, Valentine's Day on our mind today. And I've got a email. I've got an email commentary. Mac, I'm listening. You're a jackass, all right? Would you let your friend talk? He's trying to make points, and you're being critical and uncooperative. Please stop. Okay.
Thank you.
Now, I'm not, hey, look, just, I don't even know why I read that. I should not
well,
have.
I'll tell you what, Mac. What? One of the great things about our relationship for you folks out there,
yes,
is we love busting each other's chops. And it's kind of hard to pull back on that.
I never bust your chops. What are you talking about?
In a loving kind of way. But even at Thanksgiving, I mean Valentine's Day,
yeah,
it's okay. It's cool.
Yeah, well, the glass of water, come on. But anyway, we're not going to go there. We're done with the glass of water now.
Water.
I've got another email for you.
Okay,
Mac. I like the chow hall. But I'm curious. Kim is a professional chef. Has he ever poo-pooed? Has he ever prepared food for the masses like we would in a chow hall? I think that's not a very easy job. So I'm curious, has he ever fixed foods for hundreds of people, maybe between 300 and 500 people? And if so, is there technique to it? Does it need to be blander, you know, when you're preparing food for a diverse taste? And what are the considerations? I've never given that much thought to the chow hall, but since I'm in it today, I'm curious to what a professional chef would think of feeding the masses. Enjoy the program. I like Friday being a little bit lighter, especially in the world that we live in today. Friday should be a little bit lighter. And we're going to talk Hollywood here in about 30 minutes, too, so that'll be fun. Kim, feeding the masses, is there a trick to it when you're going to feed that many people whose tastes are all very diverse? Do you have sympathy for guys who cook in the military that have to cook that much food?
I think it's a monster of a job. Very difficult. And the art form to cooking for large amounts of people is the seasoning in your food. You can't just throw everything in a pot and let her go. You have to adjust your seasoning. I did a party, a beach party one time for 500 people, and 700 people showed up.
Always.
And that was the last time I ever ran out of food in my life.
Oh, you ran out of food?
Oh, I was told to fix for 500.
Right.
I always fixed 100 more.
Right.
And 600 people showed up, and then another 100 or plus people. And she says, why don't you have more food? And I says, because you told me 500 people, I fixed for 600. And now you got 700 plus people here. I said, go to McDonald's.
Oh!
I told her to go to Kentucky Fried. She was under my chin.
Oh.
And I don't snap very often, but, you know, I had been working for 4 days on this party. This is in Port Townsend, Washington. I had a dozen 8 to 12 pound salmon that I deboned and filleted. And, I mean, I had whole sides. Then I put a crab mousse in the center, put them back together, and then did a chauffeur sauce. That's a white sauce that it has gelatin in it. And you make designs on the fish to make it look like a fish. But you can eat the whole thing. I went through 12 of those, for God's sake. And just all the other food I fixed. But for cooking for masses, number one, you have to know how many people you're cooking for. Number two, you have to season your food accordingly.
What does that mean?
You don't want it to be bland. You want it to have flavor. And that's easy to do, whether you're doing turkeys, pasta, mac and cheese. You know, you can take mac and cheese and make it kick ass. You know, you can make it hot. You can put stuff in it, bacon bits in there, you know, from leftover bacon for breakfast in the mess hall. I mean, there's anything. If you're doing just a baked potato, have a baked potato bar where they can throw in sour cream or bacon bits or green onions or whatever they want, parsley, sour cream. So, you know, if the cook gives a damn about who he's cooking for, and most service chefs give a big damn about it.
Yeah. No.
And I'm sure that they do this. I'm sure you know, you had Thanksgiving in Afghanistan. You know, those guys work their tails off. It's not
No, you know, those big meals, actually, I think they really look forward to them because that's different. What's hard, I think, is just the day-to-day trying to make it a little bit different when you're in situations like that.
Yeah.
When you can, because you can't always do it. But you're feeding that many people and with, you know, diverse, you know, tastes, all of them. So, so it's not, it's an interesting question because it's not an easy job. I never really gave it that much thought.
Oh, it's a brutally difficult job. And the chefs, and cooks don't get enough credit, I'm sure. But, for the day to day cooking, because that's when it's most challenging to make the food tasty and interesting, but also, like you said, there's serving a lot of different tastes. So, God bless them, man. My hat's off to that. And I like cooking for, 150, 100, 200 people or less, because I'm hands-on kind of guy.
Right.
And I can delegate, but I oversee everything. You know, I don't micromanage it, but I'm looking out and tasting all the time. They add this, you got to do that, you got to do that.
Yeah, I talked to a couple of guys who work for you. They might not agree with you.
Yeah?
Yeah, they said that you would whoop their ass, and you were micromanaging. You were, like, letting them have it.
Yeah, because they weren't doing it right. That's a no-brainer.
All right. All right. Oh, that's the supervision part. Okay.
If
all right. No, I'm with you. I think that's the way it should be, right? What do you want to do? What you want to do?
Look, I'm the chef. I'm the owner. My ass is on the line. If things are messed up and they don't taste the same every time they come in, and that's what I prided myself in, was the consistency of our food.
Okay.
Once in a while, you know, something that slipped by, but very, very seldom. And that's a very important thing. Yeah, they might think I'm micromanagement, but the food's always good and they always get compliments. And you know, my way or the highway.
All right, I'm with you. All right, so let's go back to the vodka pasta. Okay, so now we've got everything kind of set up. You're dressed, you're not dressed in your jeans. You put on a pair of slacks and a shirt. Got your apron on. The candles are burning. And it's just a nice evening, right? You're putting a little bit of effort in this, got her a little present, and now you're gonna make dinner. So let's talk about vodka pasta. How do we do it?
Okay. You take a tablespoon of olive oil, a tablespoon of butter, 2 clove garlic minced.
Okay.
2 shallots minced.
Yep, we got that.
And a cup of vodka.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, a big cup of vodka.
A little extra for the Pope.
Always.
Always.
And a little behind your ears too. dab a little bit, you know. The thing is about cooking with alcohol, whether it's wine or alcohol.
Yeah.
The better the alcohol, the better the dish. You don't want to serve rot gut vodka in this dish. You want a high end vodka, which you can also drink before or after dinner or another time. But you pop for a nice bottle of vodka, and then you saute those garlic and shallots for two minutes, and then you add the vodka. You reduce it by one half in volume. And then you add.
Okay, can I ask you a stupid question? How do I know? No. So when you say you've reduced it by half, I'm just eyeballing that, right?
Yes, you are.
Okay, all right. And what kind of heat am I cooking this in?
You're cooking it at medium high. You're sauteing the garlic and shallots. You don't want to burn them. You want them translucent, soft, and then that takes a couple of minutes.
Okay.
And then you throw in your vodka.
All right. So, again, so what temperature is this at?
Say medium heat on your stove.
Medium heat on my stove.
A little medium to medium high.
Okay. And it's one if you have a
burner or a electric stove.
Okay. And this is one of those things where you can't walk away from the stove when you're doing this, by the way. Okay?
Well, no.
So you got to stay there. So don't think you're going to walk around and do stuff and check on it every once in a while. When you're reducing and you're making things translucent, those are things that need your eyeballs, so pay attention.
And that's why I would recommend you do this part of the sauce the day before.
Okay. That makes
Keep
sense.
Keep it in the fridge.
Hey,
Ken, all you have to do.
Ask me how I know that.
How do you know that?
Because I've left stuff that I was supposed to be watching, and I was just going to go check on something, and then, like, something caught my eye, and then I was like, whoa, and then all of a sudden I went, uh-oh, and I ran back, and what was supposed to be translucent was now brown, okay? So it's a delicate thing, so you got to stay there.
And you know, doing that the day before or the night before when you get home from work, the sauce keeps great. Now, you add a cup of chicken stock after the vodka has been reduced by half, 1 can, 32 ounces of crushed tomatoes, and then you reserve a half a cup of cream, okay? That goes in the next day when you heat this up. And then you have 20 fresh basil leaves, shredded, salt and pepper, that goes in the next day. Okay, and then 16 ounces, a pound of penne pasta or rigatoni. Now, penne are tubular pastas that are about 2 inches long, maybe a little over a quarter of an inch across the hole. Okay, it's a long tubular. And then rigatoni is a larger version of the same pasta. It's maybe an inch across the hole.
Okay, I'm with you.
Okay, after you've done all this and you add the stock tomatoes, you bring to a bubble, then reduce heat and simmer for about 30 minutes. And that will thicken it up a little bit.
Okay.
Now you simmer it. That's low heat, low heat, simmer. Okay? And then the next day. Now, if you want to get fancy, folks, you want to really hit a home run, you get fresh or frozen shrimp that are peeled and deveined as large as you can get, and you keep those in the fridge until the next day. And then you're assembling this dish. You start your pasta water from cold water. Add a quarter cup of salt to this cold water. And when you cook pasta, folks, you have to have, like, for 1 pound of pasta, you have to have about 6 quarts of water, because you want a lot of water in the pan to get all around the pasta. And when you drop the pasta in, this is a dry pasta. You stir it constantly, and so the pasta doesn't stick together. And then once you know how to test pasta, you throw it against the wall, and if it sticks, it's done. That's with spaghetti, anyway. And you usually throw it to the ceiling. But you reheat that tomato sauce. Okay? You add the whipping cream. That's a half a cup of whipping cream.
Okay.
And salt and pepper to taste.
Right.
And once that's heating up, simmering, and getting warm, then you drop your pasta in the boiling water. The water has to come to a boil before you drop your pasta in.
Okay, of course. Come on. We know how to do that.
I'm just the lonely guy from out of town trying to help you out.
I know you are. We appreciate that. We appreciate that. Then I'm in the front row, right?
Yeah. What this cream does, it takes that red sauce and makes it a little pink, baby.
Ooh.
Very, very love trying.
And she's going to know if there's a little, that's not like something, if she sees you doing this. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have a little saute pan on the side when you drop the pasta in the water.
Okay.
And then you take the shrimp and maybe a teaspoon to a tablespoon, depending on how many shrimp you have, in the saute pan. Then you saute the shrimp until they're red on the outside. But you don't cook them because they're going to finish. You're going to dump them into the sauce, okay, that's warming up. And you cook them about halfway because you don't want to overcook shrimp. It dries it out.
Right.
But that's the crowning glory are the shrimp in this. And you can call it vodka cream pasta. You can call it voodoo pasta if you add the shrimp. Because, baby, you're going to put a spell on her. That's all I'm saying, baby. This works, folks.
This works? It's legit?
This, I can testify, after 27 years of marriage, it still works.
Wow. All right, I've got a couple emails questions for you.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yep.
Okay. Hey, Mac, I know Kim's a chef, but it sounds like he's a smart guy. Okay, look, let me just tell everybody, don't be so easily fooled, okay? Let's not get carried away with this whole Kimbo in the chow hall, all right? So, anyway, here's my question. My girl loves chocolate. Is there a certain kind that he would recommend to me relative to buying chocolate? And so I'm not a chocolate guy myself.
Okay.
How can I go right here? So, Kim, do you have any suggestions on a type of chocolate?
Yes. I'm giving you 3 countries that the best chocolate comes from.
Okay.
One place in particular is in San Francisco. It's called Ghirardelli Chocolates. You can get them in any store, drugstore, candy store, Ghirardelli. The other one is any chocolate out of Switzerland or any chocolate out of Belgium or any chocolate out of Holland.
Okay.
No.
The low countries, I think they're called, other than Switzerland.
Yeah.
Okay.
Other than Switzerland, and it's made in the low country.
Right.
Those are great. You don't buy Hershey's, for God's sake. and if you really want to dazzle her,
yes,
go into somebody that makes their own chocolates, like truffles.
Yes.
Truffles, you cannot go wrong with them. Now, they're a candy that is chocolate on the outside, kind of a hard coat, and inside is truffle, like a creamy chocolate. And it just melts in your mouth. And their Swiss make the best. Well, so do the Dutch. They both make great. And then if it's a private chocolate store, candy store in your neighborhood, they'll make great chocolates also. And they have nice packaging. And that would be the direction I would really go, is find a candy store that makes their own stuff. Okay?
Okay. No, that sounds very good. I'm impressed. All right, one more email. Hey Mac, I'm not a great pasta guy in terms of, I think I always overcook it. The type of pasta Kim's talking about, penne, I believe,
yeah,
is it about an inch long and it's cut diagonally at the ends on each side?
Kim? Yes, it's about 2 inches long, and it has a diagonal cut on each end. Very good.
Okay.
And you cook it, and towards the end of it, you'll see the water it's boiling in will get a little starchy looking.
Okay.
And you take a spoon, and you use a wooden spoon when you stir pasta because it doesn't break up the pasta. Metal spoons cut into the pasta. And you want to be delicate with this.
You want to be gentle with the pasta.
And taste it. And it should have, it's called al dente,
yes,
which means with tooth.
What does that mean?
And it has to have, it can't be raw, but it's towards the center. If you cut it in half, you'll see an extremely thin circle where the pasta is just finishing cooking, and you drain it and then pour it, drain it completely, and then pour it in this sauce and mix it up. And that's it. But you taste it, and if it's overcooked, it'll taste like mush. And you would rather have it undercooked than overcooked. Because like a lot of things that are cooked under heat, you take it off the heat, it'll still continue to cook. So you take it off when it's a little al dente. You throw it in the pasta while it's simmering. And then you turn that off. You go get a salad. You have a salad made up in the fridge before your date. You get your date. You don't put anything on it. You don't dress it. It's just all raw and ingredients, whatever you want to do. And then you go to a bakery and get a nice crusty French bread and some butter on the table or olive oil. A lot of places will have little dishes with fresh olive oil and balsamic vinegar poured in it, and you kind of dunk your bread in that with your salad if you want.
If you want.
And then for dessert, you serve something chocolate or whatever her favorite dessert is. It could be a little tart. You can get it at a bakery. You want to get...
What's a tart?
A tart is a...
Does it have fruit?
Yes, it has fruit.
Okay.
It has a vanilla cream, which is what the creme caramel was at Sanders. And it's a little thicker than that. And you cook the tart shells, and you can buy them pre-made, and then you can buy individuals or
we're not making them. We're just buying tarts, and they have fruit in them, and you can buy them at a bakery.
Yes, you can, and that's what you want to do. That is absolutely a beautiful end to a wonderful meal. They're not too heavy. They're about 3-4 inches across.
Boom, boom.
And they're very colorful. They have all kinds of blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, blackberries, kiwi,
yeah,
all kinds of fruit, and they're just very bright.
And light.
And then they put a little glaze over the top.
Mm.
So it's like a coating that makes it glisten. Pleasant to look at, even better to eat.
There you have it. So another email question. Hey, Mac, I heard Kim talking about betting last week. How did you do on the Super Bowl?
Oh, baby. I cleaned up. Thank you very much.
What were you doing at halftime? Getting ready to write checks?
I was thinking, where's my passbook for my bank account? I'm going to lose my ass. And
How about that guy?
And oh God! And the only thing I lost was the coin toss. We have 20 side bets of first touchdown, longest run from scrimmage, and there were 20 of them, and I think I lost 5 out of the 20. You know, most passing yards,
most TDs,
all that stuff.
All right. So,
I did very well. Thank you for asking.
All right. We love that. Okay. Now, I'm trying to think. There's one more email here. Hey, Mac. Another food question, if you don't mind. I know Kim is a hot dog guy, and I've heard him talk about it before. Is there a particular type of hot dog that he likes? I'm having a little bit of a shindig this weekend. I heard him talking about hot dogs a few weeks ago, and it sounded kind of cool to make some chili, throw a whole bunch of hot dogs, and make it fun, kind of little get-together with hot dogs. Is there a kind of hot dog that he prefers in a group setting? Should I get turkey dogs? Should I get beef dogs? Should there be a variety? Never done this. Looking for some advice.
Okay. You can get turkey dogs. You can get buffalo dogs made with buffalo meat. My favorite hot dog is a natural casing hot dog at my local butcher that Mac knows.
Yep.
L&M, and the best hot dog I've ever had. It's got a little snap to it, and when you cook hot dogs, whether you boil them or grill them, you do not want to break the skin because that lets the juices out. You want, when somebody bites into a hot dog on a fresh bun, steamed bun, that it has a little snap. And then I suggest that you have the hot dogs in a crock pot if you're grilling them, just to keep them warm.
Okay.
Or in a pot of water that's been turned off where they boiled in.
Okay.
And so then you can have onions, relish, mustards, ketchups, mayo, whatever you want to put on a hot dog, sauerkraut, you can put a little chili on your dog, have a chili dog.
I like that.
Some grated cheddar cheese. So, and then they get the dog. They build their hot dog the way they want to build it. And you don't have to be bothered with it. You can concentrate on serving up chili and keeping the table with the condiments fresh and have extra onions cut. I like onions, sweet relish, pickle relish, and mustard.
A little ketchup?
No, that you like ketchup, but I like the straight mustard. And I also like occasionally sauerkraut.
God forbid. Stop it.
Yeah. But anyway, those are the options you have.
Okay. All right. We're talking, we're in the chow hall this morning, as we are on Friday, yeah. Talking food. One other email about the chow hall. Hey, Mac, I love the chow hall. And, I'm also curious, about something else. I think the best meal of the day at the chow hall tends to be breakfast, and then in parentheses, cause they can't screw it up that bad. Is there, when you're cooking for so many people, what are the major considerations? I've never really thought about the chow hall that much, but I'm kind of intrigued now that I'm thinking of it as a problem to solve. So, Kim, what are the considerations when you're, let's say you're cooking for between 500 and 1,000 people?
Yes.
What are the considerations? Assuming you have enough food.
Well, you cook your bacon on sheet pans at a low heat so that it cooks slowly, and you have parchment paper, and you want bacon to be crisp, number one.
No, you don't.
You want your potatoes in the chafing dish, you want them to keep hot, stay hot. Everything in a buffet line in the anything that big are in chafing dishes that have sterno underneath.
Okay.
A pan with water.
Yeah, no, they have all that covered. All that's covered. Okay. All that's covered.
Yeah, okay.
So what are what are the considerations though? I don't want to go through a who shot who of each item, but when you're cooking that much food, what are the considerations in terms of, you talk about season to taste. So when you're cooking for that many, do you have to leave it bland because the taste varies so much?
No, you have to season it a little bit. If people want to add more salt and pepper, then by all means have it there for them to add. But you have to season food, period. You don't over-season with salt. You can't have enough pepper, but that's just me. Now, right. I'm going to say something that I hate when I go through a buffet.
Okay.
Are scrambled eggs that are just hardening in a chafing dish. The longer they sit, no matter how loose they are when you put them in, they just harden up like a rock. Now, you want to avoid this. You tell your chef.
No, we don't have that problem though. We don't have that problem. We have like trays, and there's water underneath them with that's heated water, so the trays are the temperature regulated, and the food goes pretty fast. So I would tell you that we tend not to have that problem.
For me, I add little dollops of cream cheese to my scrambled eggs when they're about 2/3 of the way cooked, and that cheese melts and keeps the eggs moist and gives it a little high pro glow glisten, and the eggs are always fresh even if they're only on the line. Well, when you're feeding 500 people, you got insert after insert coming with scrambled eggs.
Right.
But when they get them done, you put a little cream cheese, mix the eggs up, it'll melt, and it'll keep the eggs moist. They won't get hard and dry.
All right.
Final
question. Mac, enjoy the discussion. Does Kim have a website or a Facebook page that he ever posts anything to? Kim?
No, I don't.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, on that, You should. You should have a Facebook page at Dope.
I should have. I had one at Sanders.
No, we want the Kimbo Slice Chow Hall Facebook page. Maybe I'll make that one up for you, and then you can post stuff to it.
I will do that.
I'll take care of that. All right, Kim, always thank you very much for the visit this morning. Truly appreciate it. Happy Valentine's Day.
And Joe's coming on this afternoon?
Joe's coming on this afternoon. Happy Valentine's
Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, baby.
Happy Valentine's. See you at 1 today.
All right. We'll talk to you. That is.
Thank you, Marines everywhere.
Leaving
have a wonderful Valentine's Day.
Leaving the Chow Hall, Kimbo Slice. See you later.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk Hollywood Marines coming up next. Don't go away. Hollywood Marines, that's right, coming up next.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do. And I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
Canary Star Gnarly Irma here with important information for veterans. At 2,600 American job centers nationwide, veteran and transitioning military personnel can find help with career counseling, resumes, and job placement. You want more information, don't you? The Department of Labor offers a variety of programs to help our military heroes find good jobs or continue their education. What are you waiting for?
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.